Okay, so greetings and thank you for being here. My name is Scott Tubbs, and my title of my presentation is Managing Rye Cover Crop Before Peanut. I acknowledge my co-author, Scott Mumford from the University of Georgia, our Extension Peanut Specialist. Both of us are in the Department of Crop and Soil Sciences. So this project was designed to look at strip tillage for peanut. Most of our peanut acreage is under conventional tillage, which involves moldboard plow and preparation of a bed with a smooth surface for planting. But strip tillage became very popular about 20 years ago with the onset of tomato spotted wilt virus. And so with growing a cover crop preceding the peanut and growing peanut in strip tillage, it disrupts the thrips ability to find the peanut plant as it's emerging, and it disrupts that feeding habit, which causes tomato spotted wilt virus to be reduced in peanut. So whatever the mechanism is behind that, I'm not sure. We'd have to ask an entomologist, and even our peanut entomologist says they're not exactly sure what the mechanism is behind that. But thrips is the way that tomato spotted wilt virus is transmitted into the plant. So our growers that were using that as a cultural management for suppressing tomato spotted wilt virus usually use rye as their cover crop. So it's the most common cover crop in the Southeast, especially for peanut production, but also for cotton as well. Therefore, the quantity of biomass is very important for weed control, erosion prevention, soil moisture retention, and of course, as the aforementioned, suppression of thrips feeding behavior. But there's been a little more focus on the weed control aspect lately because of Palmer amaranth. We have a tremendous problem with both glyphosate resistant and now ALS resistant Palmer amaranth in Georgia. And most of our herbicides that we use on both peanut and its primary rotation partner cotton are ALS herbicides. So we've found Palmer amaranth to be a big deal. And one of the best ways to suppress Palmer amaranth is using a heavy biomass cover crop to get around chemical control. So some of our weed scientists are working on those types of systems. So I kind of piggyback to this project on their ideas, but this is not a weed control project per se. This is just more the agronomics. And I also mentioned that fertilizing cover crops is not common in the state of Georgia, but naturally when you fertilize a cover crop, there's a greater opportunity for biomass to accumulate. The farmers consider this an extra expense with no monetary value. Again, that can be argued whether there is a monetary value for that or not, but most of the farmers say that they don't like that extra expense of seed cost, for fertilizer to put on a cover crop. They just consider a cover crop to be a true plant it and leave it type situation in Georgia. Some will say that the benefits outweigh the cost with a cover crop, and I know my colleagues over at Auburn University have done a lot of work with the soil moisture retention and erosion prevention portion of using a cover crop. So let's go into some results here. Figure one is biomass production for the rye based on the planting date effect. So our red bars, look at any one of these graphical representations. We want to just basically compare red bars to red bars, yellow bars to yellow bars, and blue bars to blue bars. We're not trying to compare across years. This project was done in 2013, 2014, and 2015. And basically, the earlier we were able to plant the cover crop, the more biomass we were able to produce for the most part. That was not entirely true in 2015, where the November planting had numerically the lowest overall biomass production. That was related more to our weather situation. Looking at those, keeping fertilizer equivalent, these are all three fertilized, but we have a December, a November, and an October planting of rye. Not as easy to see in this picture. It was zoomed in with the light shining down on it. But hopefully you can pick up kind of maybe some of that biomass potential in an October compared to a November, even with the height there compared to December. Biomass production with and without fertilizer. Naturally, we saw in two of the 3 years an increase in biomass production with fertilizer compared to non-fertilized rye. And the picture, October yes on the right and October no on the left, shows you that largest biomass potential with the October. There was no difference in peanut yield, and I'm actually out of time, so I'm going to have to rush through and say thank you for your attention, and I need the next speaker to come on forward. So.